Oh, if you have your HCA books, hopefully you have them. We are on page 18. That's where the sermon notes are today. And if you want to open your Bibles, I know I've got you doing multiple hand things. Oh, and Zoomers, thank you for the few of you that were like, hey, we need a book. Let us know if you're watching on Zoom, and we'll drop it in the mail to you. We'll run it over to your house. We want to keep this going. So today we are in Numbers, and you heard Scott read all of the big words, but if you have your Bibles, flip them over to Numbers 13. And we'll jump right in on verse 17 of chapter 13. Moses sent the spies out to the land of Cana, and said to them, go up to the Negev and go to the hill country and see what the land is. See, Moses was an amazing leader, and Moses knew he had some challenges in front of him. Anybody else got some challenges in front of you? Okay. Wow. Hold on. Go ahead and do that again. Who's got some challenge? Okay, it was super disproportionate on this side of the room, so I was going to just stop and pray for this side, have this side pray for the, but then everybody threw their hands up. No, see, Moses had some stuff coming up, and I love this because Moses stops, and the first thing he deals with is what is. Not what could be, not what will be, not what was. Anybody else struggle with the what was? You know, we're more concerned about what was than what is. Where are you right now? Moses wanted to know what's going on with the land. Moses had heard rumors about the land. Anybody heard some good rumors this week? So some opinions. Let me phrase that a different way. Anybody been on social media? No, everybody's got an opinion. So Moses picks 12 people and check out what he sends them in. He wants to know what is. He kind of sets up a Likert scale. He says, I want to know about, oh, go ahead and click to the next slide, if you don't mind. He wants to know about the people. Who are the people in the land? Not just tell me about the people, but are these people strong? And by the way, the Hebrew on that, anybody who's been through Fight Club, you know this word, Kazakh. Everybody just say Kazakh. This became the Hebrew war cry. When they'd go into battle, they'd go, Kazakh! So say it like you're Hebrew. Kazakh! Okay, that was lame. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Stand up. And now say it on three. We're just going to all say it together. One, two, three. Kazakh! Okay, you're not. You can't say Kazakh and have your, you know. See, you're being. So right now I'm going, you moved from the first time we did it, you were like 10. Not going to lie, that was weak. We got everybody standing up and you moved more towards a 6. Throw the hands up and see what happens. Everybody on 3. Oh yeah, put the books down. Some of you are shaking it out. Some of you are a little bit excited now. Ready? On 3. 1, 2, 3. Go ahead and have a seat. Yeah. They wanted to rate the people. Where are you? Are you weak or are you strong? Where are your people? Then Moses asked, I want to know, though, not only are they weak, are they strong, are they few? And I love this. This Hebrew word is meh. Meh. Are they few or are they many? What you're facing, actually stop and go, hold on, wait, what am I facing? What am I facing? Am I facing a lot of things or am I facing a few things? Am I facing Kazakh things, or am I making a mountain out of a molehill, and these things aren't as big of a deal as I'm thinking? If Moses wanted to know about the people. Go ahead and click. What else did he ask? He asked about the land, by the way. He asked, when he asked about the land, he said, is the land tov? That is the land multiplying? Is the land bountiful? Or is the land ra? That is, are things multiplying so much there that they're keeping other things from finding and living what they're supposed to be doing? what kind of land am I walking into? And then he asked about the cities. Are the cities tents? Are they teepees and wigwams? Two tents? Come on, that was hilarious. Are they cities? And by the way, you can tell a lot about a place with that. Are they tents? That is, are the people ready to move? Are they portable? Are they cities? Are they settled into their ruts and it's going to be really hard to change them? Where are they? And then this is great. The word that he goes next in Hebrew, it shows up 162 times. The word is translated as trees, 107. It's translated as wood, 23. It's translated as timber, 14. It's translated as sticks. Whoa, go back. Yeah, that word, and that's why your Bible translated. He goes, tell me about the wood. Is it big? Are they making their trees into lumber? Are their trees just kindling? What's it like there? And then Moses is brilliant because he says, I'm not just going to take your word for it. Bring me some. Like, I need to actually bring me some fruit. Anybody know a person where they describe the fish they caught and it was this big? They tell you how strong and mighty it is, and then they open up their cooler, and you got a sardine. See, Moses was checking, hey, what are my spies seeing? And then I just want a baseline for, hey, where are they really at? See, the first thing Moses deals with is what is. Go ahead and click if you don't mind, Mike. Can I ask a blunt question? What is your home court advantage? Where are you really at? We've been talking about it. Home court advantage. We've told you, Scott and I have preached this. We've showed you data. We've went to studies that if faith formation is happening in the home, regardless of age, it's stickier than happening anywhere else in the world. That if you're sitting around and actually opening up God's word, praying with your family, your faith is going to grow more than anywhere else. But let's just stop and look. We printed up this book. What is? One way to check that, if you're using the book, just flip through. Blank page, blank page, blank page, blank. Oh, that tells me something. What is? What is? Just actually stop and go, man, am I praying with my family? Well, everybody goes, yeah! Okay, when? When? Before you eat? Great! Before bedtime? Great! Never? Well, own it. That's what is. If your answer is never, great! Tons of room for improvement. Super easy to improve. What is your home court advantage? Because you're never going to get anywhere until you know where you are. You know your starting point. As long as we're in denial, and yes, I had to get an Exodus Egypt reference in there. As long as we're in denial, you're not going to ever get anywhere because you think you're already there. See, Moses wanted to know what is. And so Moses sends off 12 spies. And if you go back to verse 16, we got to flip back to 13:16 because you don't want to miss this. If you came up in the church, you know that 10 spies gave a certain report and 2 spies gave another one. But I just want to frame this. In verse 13:16. These were the men of Moses who Moses sent out to the land. And underline this part. And Moses called Hoshea Joshua. See, the kid's name was Hosea. It was Hoshea. But God changed his name through Moses. He gave him a nickname, Joshua. Now pay close attention into this, because God does this all the time in Scripture. Somebody starts off with this name, with this identity, with this self-definition, and God goes, close, but I'm changing you to this. Right? If you know the Bible story, Jesus called some disciples. One of them was named Simon. And Jesus looked at Simon and he said, hey, everybody calls you Simon, but your name is now Peter. Actually, let me translate that from Greek into English, because we only translate one of the names, Simon. We don't translate them both. See, Jesus looked at Simon and said, everybody calls you Simon, but I'm calling you the Rock. That does something. What's your name? What's your self-definition? See, Hoshea was that, and Joshua, in verse 16, this is how it's translated. Joshua is the Lord is salvation. The capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Yahweh is salvation. That's where it's coming from. See, Hoshea, that just means salvation. See, Hoshea is good. Hoshea is good. Salvation. There's hope. It might get better. Joshua tells us where the hope comes from, that God brings us hope. It gives us direction. It gives us bearing. It tells Joshua where to work from. And so all of a sudden, Joshua, working from salvation, rather than working from salvation, working from the Lord is salvation, gives a different report than the other people. See, when Joshua gives his report, this is verse 30 and 31, he's moving from what is to what can be. What can be? Once you've dealt with where you really are in your faith, in your physical body, as a family, start thinking what can be. This is where we get creative. Who out there is creative? Okay, like four of you. Now, see, people say this all the time, but people are highly creative. Actually, most people that come into my office, when they need some pastoral guidance, they are highly creative. Something happens, and they get super creative. They go from, my kid broke curfew, to they're going to become a raging alcoholic and crash the car and die in like 4 minutes. I'm amazed how many people, they get a diagnosis and instantly they come in and the story they're telling themselves is highly, highly creative. This thing's going to kill me. Anybody ever met somebody like that? I mean, just watch. Walk around. Sorry, I just got... Yeah, walk around. It's amazing. You want to freak somebody out, and I don't mean to minimize this. Yes, we have a disease going around, and people are getting sick, and yes, we wash our hands, and do that whether or not there's a disease, please. And some, but man, I'm amazed how many people are petrified of COVID. It's going to kill me. We're all going to die. The whole world's going to... Okay, yes, we take it seriously, but... Man, the story we're telling ourselves is insane. It's insane. Don't be stupid, but don't be insane. See, what can be, what happens when we stop working from salvation to the Lord is our salvation? What's the different story that you can be telling? Because this is what can be. See, Joshua, what happened was Joshua, everybody else said, there's all these people and they're really, really strong and the fruit is so big and everybody's mighty. That's what is. And 10 of the spies said, and that means they're going to whoop us. That means we're going to die. That means we're going to be crushed under their thumb. And then Joshua and Caleb come along and they say, oh, it's going to be fun to watch them fall. Yeah, they're strong, but the stronger they are, the harder they fall. Oh, yeah, there's tons of fruit up there, and that's going to fill my tummy. Milk and honey, and I bet them grapes are going to make amazing wine. What can be? What? No matter where, when you look down and saw where your home court advantage is right now, what could it be? What's it look like to just sit back and dream a little and go, God, what could you do with my little family? I mean, maybe I messed it up when my kids were little, and I'm old now, and I'm not having any more kids. I mean, my womb is all withered up. Man, that sounds a whole lot like Abraham, doesn't it? And God did something through him. Oh, I'm too young. Timothy. And this is why we go back to Scripture over and over and over. See, when it comes to HCA, I want to encourage you as a family to just stop and say, what can be? Working with what's real right now, what could God do? We sang the song right before the sermon. It's our doorpost verse. If you still need one, put it there. As Joshua looks at the people and he says, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice the first part, choose this day whom you will serve. This is not a one and done thing. This isn't a choose today and then keep choosing forever. No, Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve because you're going to choose today. You're going to choose again tomorrow. You're going to choose. Anybody ever do that? You're like, tomorrow's going to be different. And then tomorrow happens. Yeah, this is the cool thing about this verse. It goes, good, then tomorrow, choose this day whom you're going to. Can we get honest for a second? Anybody last a day? How many times has it been, man, choose for the next 15 minutes who you're going to serve? And 8 minutes in, I've already fallen and skinned my knee. Yeah, cool. Get up. Wipe them off. Choose this day whom you will serve, because this is the thing. As Christians, if that's how you identify, if you're in here today, you go, hold on, I'm with this Christian thing, because I know some of you aren't, you've told me, and cool. But if you're going, hey, I align with the Jesus teaching, then the cool thing is, great, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. Yeah, sure, but God has already chosen you. God has already looked at you, and that one is a one and done. On the cross, he died for you. You are wiped clean. He already sees you in your full potential. He already sees you as holy. He already sees you as his. So choose this day which narrative you're going to step into. Are you going to step into the narrative of, man, I've peaked, this is all it was, my best days are behind me? Are you going to step into the narrative of God is still doing something, God is still working through my family? Yes, every single page on this can be blank, even the notes from the sermons, because I forgot it and it sat at home for my dresser last week. Cool, choose this day. You get a fresh start. You are clean, you are forgiven, you are whole, you are holy. And so we step into that again. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for washing us clean. Thank you for making us holy. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for a second chance and a third chance and a fifth chance and an 800th chance. God, thank you for healing us. God, thank you for giving us heads where we can think logically. And that we don't have to be afraid. God, so many of us are afflicted with all kinds of different sicknesses right now. I mean, you know how many people are fighting cancer in this room right now. And that word is scary. But God, you've already conquered. And so we claim that. We claim healing in your name. And God, we refuse to be afraid. God, we got some challenges in front of us. As a nation, as a world, as a family, as an individual. God, as we look at what can be, give us eyes to see the potential, not the fear. God, your word tells us that when we can't find the words to pray, that your spirit intercedes for us and sighs too deep for words to express. And so we ask that even now.
And we join together and we pray that perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And now we get to prepare ourselves to receive the very body and blood of Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Sing your praise unending. thousand.